Michael Libby and Insight on Business, the News Hour, is supported by the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, the premier business organization moving Iowa forward, iowaabi.org. And by Taro International, expert employee training across many disciplines is critical to productivity. Learn more at taro.com.
Welcome back to the News Hour on this Tuesday afternoon. With us in studio is a new friend of the Business News Hour. This is Dean Sarah Fisher Gardiol. And she was in town today for the Hawkeye Lunch and Learn program. First of all, welcome to the News Hour.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
So tell us a little bit about the Tippie School of Business before we get into what you were talking about here in Des Moines.
Tippie College of Business is obviously a wonderful institution. We've got about 4,000 undergraduate students. We've got about 100 graduate students on campus. The interesting thing that people don't know is we've got between 800 and 900 graduate students who are working professionals across the state of Iowa that are in Quad City, Cedar Rapids, and Des Moines that are working and then taking our MBA program in the evening.
That's one of those trends that's come up over the past decade or so where individuals must work to be able to go to school and at the same time have oftentimes family obligations, and so schools have had to adjust how they teach.
Absolutely, and whether it's kind of an evening and weekend format or it can be an online format, some things are going even to shorter formats where it's not a whole degree, it's a certificate program, so it's a subset of programs around a targeted area like business analytics. We absolutely, as business schools, are starting to rethink our portfolio based on the needs of our customers.
Isn't that the way almost all of education is going? My good friend Rob Denson over at DMAC here in town, you know, is really heavy onto that. So are all of the other schools. They're talking to businesses all the time saying, okay, what is it that you need? And so that we can teach to the subject that's needed by business.
Absolutely. And I tell our faculty and our staff internally all the time that if we just close the doors and sit down and huddle and think about what we're going to do next, we will miss the mark by a mile. And the only way that we stay relevant, the only reason that we stay moving with industry, which is moving, is to have partnerships and communication. And so our job is to get industry people in and to get our students and faculty out of the college, and so that there's just a much more fluid flow of information. Because I talk with businesses from a lot of different industries, and they all say the same thing, which is our world is changing very fast, and we're running as fast as we can to try to stay up with that. As a business educator, our job is to make sure that that pipeline of future managers and leaders is going out the door preparing for that world. We've got to know where they're headed. Mm. And so, you know, our job is to be about a half step behind where they are, making sure that we're sending students out in the workplace with the skill set that's needed for the future.
We're visiting with the dean of the Tippie School of Business, and we're talking about what business and education is doing together. You were in town today at the John and Sarah Papajohn Learning Center, mm-hmm. Talking about what's called the Iowa the Hawkeye Lunch and Learn. Why do a program like that in the first place?
Well, you know, we get stuck in some ways in Johnson County. And like I said, we've got students all over the state. And so we have to find a way to communicate more broadly with the state about what's going on with us and to bring our talent, our faculty, our story to other markets, because we can't expect everyone to come to us.
And the topic for your conversation today at the Lunch and Learn had something to do with women in business and leadership roles, and we're talking about that all the time. We see such a, you know, here in the United States, the latest survey that we saw just the other day indicated that women are paid about 81 cents to every dollar that men earn. But yet at the same time, we see that where women are put in charge of boardrooms, those corporations move much more quickly and get things done.
The data from the research that's going on in business right now is very compelling, and it is the more diverse your leadership group, whether that's your board, your C-suite leadership, the better performing your organization's going to be. And these research pieces have looked at a variety of dimensions, from market share to stock price to profitability to performance. And what we now know is if you can get out of groupthink at the top, you make better decisions. What a surprise.
Her name is Sarah Fisher-Gardiol, and she is the dean of the Tippey School of Business in Iowa City, making a return engagement here in Des Moines. What were some of the questions that people asked you today after your presentation?
One of the things that we know is that women aren't getting to the top of organizations. And there's a group called Catalyst that has kept these data for decades around the gender mix at various levels of the leadership hierarchy. And what we know is it's just not changing at the top. And it's counterintuitive because we know that women are out in the workforce in higher numbers. They have been for a while. So why are they there but not getting to the top? And people really want to try to understand what is it that we can do better, differently, or fix to create a better flow of women to the top of institutions. And we seem to be kind of stuck.
We are stuck, and we have had no less than 25 different individuals from 25 different groups, it seems like, through these doors talking about this very same thing. And one of the things is we're all saying the same things. However, there doesn't seem to be a unifying force that can channel all of this energy and all of this direction towards an end result.
It's a complicated set of factors that are all coming together, and I think if it was easy or if there was one thing that needed to be done, we would have done it a long time ago. And I will just say this, it's a multi-level problem, and so one of the things that I talk with women about, whether they're undergraduate students or MBA or women that are already in industry, is I ask them to think about what are the things they can own and change in terms of their own behaviors in the workplace. We know that women hold themselves back from certain kinds of things like asking for that promotion, asking for the raise. You know, women aren't as proactive in the workplace as men are, and that ends up hurting them over time. At the other end of the spectrum, we know that there are societal issues or impediments. Mm-hmm. We are one of two countries in the world that don't have paid maternity leave. Papua New Guinea is the other. And so I'm just not sure that's the company that we want to be compared to. And so there are structural things that we need to do in society to support families in the workplace. And those things are simply not in place. It's about paid leave. It's about access to preschool childcare, those kinds of things. And so there's a wide swath of issues here.
Where we do see women taking an active role in boards and in leadership of companies, are we seeing some changes in those corporations to those much-needed programs?
Oh, absolutely. You know, not surprisingly, if you get women into those positions, they will start affecting the change that they need. One of my most recent examples of that is that one of our alums from the college came back a couple of weeks ago. He is the just recently retired CFO of Kimberly-Clark, and they just told an amazing story of what has happened in their company and how they approach everything differently now that they've got women in the top, from hiring to mentoring to promoting. It just is a rethink of the traditional ways that we've made decisions in organizations.
Along with societal concerns, could this also be driven by economics?
Well, absolutely. And I think that one of the compelling reasons that's going to move some businesses is when they see there's a bottom line consideration here. I mean, you can do it because you think it's the right reason, the moral reason. There are all kinds of things going on there. But the truth is, for an individual company, you'll see performance improvement. The president of the United States right now has a council on women and girls, and they think the nation prospers more when more women have access to leadership positions as well. And so, you know, whether it's an individual or a company or a country that we're talking about, everyone prospers.
Relative to the University of Iowa and moving forward, what's the next step, do you think?
For women, mm-hmm. in particular, I will tell you what we're doing. One is we're recruiting more actively and trying to get female role models out there in front of our young students to show them this is what you can do. These are very successful women that came off of the Iowa farm, perhaps, just like you did, and look where they are now, and getting them more interaction with female role models. We also have to do some things differently in terms of leadership development with women versus men. I'm really convinced that women have to have some additional support that men don't around things like negotiating skills, self-advocacy in the marketplace, those kinds of things. There are some things that women just don't naturally do, but they're coachable. So while they're with us, we're also trying to put some different skills in their tool set.
Good stuff. It's called the Hawkeye Lunch and Learn. It took place today. We've been speaking with Dean Sarah Fisher Gardahl. And thank you so much for spending some time. I know you've got a crazy busy schedule today, and by coming by the News Hour and sharing this information with us, we'll, of course, have it on the podcast and share this worldwide.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure.
All right, we've got to move aside. We're going to take a look and see what happened today on Wall Street. We've got the Wall Street Report, followed by the Iowa 25, and then we'll take a look at the commodities. That's all coming up next, right here on the Business News Hour.